building managers are getting more help. They're getting more help in identifying ways to make offices more sustainable. The General Services Administration has launched the Sustainable Facilities Tool. It's supposed to give agencies and private developers an online tool to access cost-effective green building strategies. Kevin Capshur is director of the Office of Federal High Performance Green Buildings at GSA, and he joins us now with details. Good morning.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Well, especially since we've had what seems like the world's bitterest winter in history, you must be thinking about sustainability and how much heat goes out all the chimneys of federal buildings.
Absolutely. And we've designed this tool, as you said, to help building managers for all of those small projects, and there are a lot of them that go on in buildings, where you wouldn't normally hire an architect or a designer.
So tell us about the tool. What is it, and how can people, what does it do?
Well, first of all, it's a 3D tool that is completely interactive. And what you do is you go in, there's a 3D view of a building, you pick the kind of space you're looking at. I'm looking actually at the tool right now at a picture of a conference room. And as you mouse over the conference room, let's say you get to a whiteboard, you can click on that. You can see a materials comparison. You can see whether it has any energy impact. Whiteboards tend not to, but lighting does, window coverings do, floor materials, and it'll give you a comparison of the materials. It'll help you make the right choices. And then at the end, it'll allow you to store all of your choices in a little project file, and then as you go through designing the project and working with the customer to figure out exactly what's best, you can change it and move forward, and then you can either store it or toss it away. The key thing is that it's interactive. It's up on the web. It's available to anybody at sftool.org, and it's free.
Now, is this for buildings that are under construction, or is it existing buildings, and is it customized for each building?
It's really designed for buildings that are already completed. So you're in a building and you don't have a break room. You want to make a break room out of some space. So that's the kind of thing it's for. Or you don't have a conference room. You're taking a couple of private offices and turning it into a conference room. It's designed for existing buildings, and it's designed for all kinds, new ones, old ones, middle-aged ones. It fits everything because it's got a broad array of links to other kinds of background. So if you get really interested in indoor environmental quality, it will give you six or seven different resources out there, like the whole building design guide, that would really let you delve into what's going on.
So if I say, here's a conference room on this tool, and I want to make it more sustainable,
yeah.
It's used every day, and lots of people come in and out. How does the tool know what the building outside walls are made of or how efficient the windows are? I mean, how does it know the parameters of the particular room that I'm dealing with?
It doesn't. What it does is it tells you the things that you can change and whether it's worth it. So if you scroll over the windows, it'll tell you what kind of coverings to use and that sort of thing. But it's really not designed to tell you that it's time to do a major construction project and replace all the windows in the building. It's designed to sort of accept the building as it is and then work within the limits of an existing building.
And who do you expect to actually use the tool then? Would it be just the average office manager?
I think office managers, building managers, that the office manager is calling up and saying, can you fix this for me? Private sector, public sector, doesn't matter. I mean, we really designed it because we do a lot of projects. It's a huge number. We do 15,000 of these kind of projects in GSA alone, and other agencies do them as well. So it's really designed to hit a niche where there's nothing out there on the market today to help the building manager make the right choices.
We're speaking with Kevin Capshur. He's director of the Office of Federal High Performance Green Buildings at the General Services Administration. Now, how does this work in a practical sense once a manager has used the tool to say, okay, these are five steps we can take to make this room work better, better window coverings, better lighting, whatever the case might be, those things that have an effect. But, I mean, who's in charge of the budget for buildings and that kind of expenditure?
Well, that really varies by building. It's usually the tenant who's making the budget decisions on this. And what it helps the building manager do is lay out a series of options with different price points for whoever's making that financial decision to make the wisest choice for the money. And we find in many cases that making wise choices can save you money. not only in operations going forward, but also in the basic materials, because in many cases, making the right choice actually is a lower cost choice.
And what about buildings where, as you say, the tenant, but say it's a building that is leased to the government by a private owner? Very often those have lighting systems and window coverings that are fixed because all the tenants have the same fittings and they want the building to be uniform.
Yes. Well, and again, you have limitations, but in most buildings with a private landlord, there's a certain amount of tenant fit out that is under the control of the tenant. Certainly things like whiteboards, sometimes lighting systems, almost always lighting systems. You can make some kind of changes, especially in conference rooms where you need a different kind of light than in regular office space. And I think in this day and age, private sector landlords are very much interested in making the right decisions as well as we're moving more and more towards sustainability. For example, the Energy Independence and Security Act requires that that we only lease major buildings from buildings that have earned the Energy Star label. So all of these kinds of energy-saving resources actually help the landlord save money on his own bills.
I guess it's really the landlord and GSA when it comes to the higher level projects. Say you want to replace the HVAC with a more efficient way or put solar panels. That sounds like that's beyond the scope of this particular tool.
Yes, it is. This tool is really designed for small projects. We're thinking less than 10,000 square feet in size and scope, and certainly not whole building renovations. There's a lot of other tools out there already for whole building renovations. Many of them are up on the whole building design guide, and we're actually improving those pages every week. So that would be the source I would go to for the large projects. But this is a great tool for small projects.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think GSA has brought out several sustainability tools for different levels since this whole initiative was undertaken.
That's correct. And most of them are put up for public use on the whole building design guide. We've got several pages on sustainability to make them available. And in fact, we've just published the facility standards, which other agencies can use as well. And it's a vibrant time for really rethinking the way we think about buildings and really thinking about buildings in their entire life cycle, not just the way we're using them today, but the materials that are embedded in them, what happens after we leave the buildings, and how we make sure that we're making good choices all the way through.
And how do you motivate the average federal manager who's worried about the 2011 budget, the 2012 budget, personnel pay freezes, hiring, firing, performance oversight? How do you get them to worry about the lights and those kinds of things?
Well, I think that any time that money is tight, and it's tight today, making the right choice, if you've got to make a choice, is really, it causes you more worry. So this is the kind of tool that helps you make the right choice. And as I said, in many cases, the right choice is actually going to be the most cost-effective choice, if not in the first cost, certainly over the life cycle, because all of these things that we're recommending are life cycle cost-effective. And I would just give you one example in lights. It's really easy to overlight a space. Well, if you've overlit a space, you've overspent. So this really helps you think about that. My favorite statistic on lighting, buildings today in the United States have 400 times as much electric light as they did in 1900. We don't need that much light. Getting the right kind of light actually helps people work better, causes less eye strain, and saves you money.
All right. So the word is use that tool and turn it down a little bit.
Absolutely. Use less.